So I'm looking forward to it. Yes, praise God. So let's just ask the Lord to bless tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you, dear God, for just bringing us here safely. Lord, we lift up the people in Afghanistan still tonight, dear Lord. Lord, you are God. You are God. You are the God of that land. And I'm just praying, Lord, that you will help those that are believers that are in the land. I pray that you'll help with those that are still trying to find safe passage out. But most importantly, Lord Jesus, I pray that you will go to the significant leaders of the Muslim armies and reveal yourself to them. And God, we just pray that tonight, Father God, that you just let your word speak to us, dear God, and that we have come in here with open hearts, ready to receive. And I ask this in your holy and precious name, and everybody said amen. Tonight, we're talking a little bit about you who call. It's coming out of a scripture that we're all very familiar with. It's found in Isaiah chapter 62. We're going to read it together. It's actually just a couple of verses, and I've just kind of built the message around it. I can't go as deep as I would want to in portions of what we're talking about today, just because we have like a 25-minute window that we're trying to stay in so that we can get right into prayer. And let's just read it together, though, in Isaiah 62, verses 6 through 7, and it says, that I have posted watchmen on your walls, Jerusalem. They will never be silent day or night, you who call on the Lord. Give yourselves no rest and give him no rest till he establishes Jerusalem and makes her the praise of the earth. So when you're reading in this scripture, just very quickly, and it talks about where it says that you who call on the Lord that they're talking about, and obviously you know this, but I just want to just put some words behind this and some explanation or descriptions of God. God, speaking of the God who we also read in scripture, that he is our refuge and our strength. Can I get an amen? An ever-present help in all types of times of trouble, that he is a strong tower. We know that in the Word, that as we read, it's through the Old Testament and the New, that he never sleeps. Nothing gets past him. He knows me, he knows you, and he is full of grace. I don't know how many of you are thankful that we serve a God who is graceful, and that because of what his Son Jesus Christ did on the cross for us, that we can receive this grace and come under this grace, and I'm very, very thankful for it. It says that you who call on the name of the Lord, and what that says also is that there is relationship. We've started kind of talking about this in this new series that we're in right now, and this past Sunday I touched a little bit on it, but when you hear somebody that calls to the Lord, somebody who has a prayer life, somebody who has a devoted life for God, there's relationship. There's work that has been put in. There is trust. And listen, in this day and time, it's hard to trust anything right now. Honestly, you can go from what's going on with rumors of war to, is the shot safe or is the shot not safe? You know, what about this president or that president? What about this friend? There's trust is just kind of a hard thing right now. But another one about you who call on the Lord, there is evidence that you've done this before with him. Okay, and I want you to think about what I'm saying there. Is that none of us are perfect, but in a relationship, and when you have somebody who calls on the Lord, it means it's usually that they've done it before, that they have a life, they have a prayer closet going on. They read their word. When they do have conversations with people, they don't shy away from talking about their faith. It means that God has walked you through some storms. People know and they have seen that even through those storms that you still remain faithful. I remember when all my entire family, except for Ryder, got COVID. You know, I remember when we got it, and I knew how bad my dad was struggling with it. And I just remember sitting there going like, okay, Lord, you know, like, what's going on here? You know, what exactly is happening here? And you have to fight fear. You have to fight confusion. You have to fight all these things, but God's there, amen? Those who call on the Lord, we can go to him in any type of struggles. So here's this is the first thought that I'm going to kind of touch on first when it comes to the you who call on the Lord, and that is remain at your post. Remember in the scripture, it says that I have posted watchmen on your walls. And you see, back in the day, especially even when I got into Bible school out at Bethany in Santa Cruz, California, we had a lot of conversations about this because a lot of the old, it's not even translation because it's not even translated that way. It was more of just the legalistic thinking that when you read the scripture, and I remember even as a young person coming in young faith, I mean, to the Lord, when I would read that, I just always thought that he was talking about ministers. That this was solely for a minister, whether you were a woman or a man, but you were a pastor. That's who they're talking about here. But I want you to understand, but that's not what this is talking about. When God talks about posting watchmen, he's talking about people who are ready to fight for the kingdom, people who are wanting to expand the kingdom, people who are looking, and we're gonna get into this deeper. We had, when I was a youth pastor in La Mesa, California, we had these two workers that worked in our youth group, and they also worked in our church. They just helped the pastor with a lot of things, and their names were Dan and Mark Gregory. And I'll never forget them because they were the most faithful youth workers I'd ever come across. They lived in San Diego, California, but they were country boys. I mean, flat out. They drove trucks. They talked country. I don't even know why they talked country because nobody in their family was. It's hard to explain. But anyway, they were country boys. But they would help us with everything. Well, with Pastor, once a year in May, he would ask them to go in their trucks and park at this this park. It was a beautiful park in San Diego that they had a pavilion there. And our church every year would get that pavilion. And we would have our big church picnic there. Now, the only way we could get it was because of the Gregory boys, because they would go and get in line at that park a day and a half or 2 days early. They would park their truck at the gate, and they would sleep in that truck. So one night, I was the youth pastor. I had some little ornery students with me, whatever, and I was feeling a little ornery that night. And we decided to go out and to mess with the Gregory brothers. And it was about 3 o'clock in the morning, and we had this thing that was had like a surgical tubing and had like a slingshot like type what would that be called that would hold it anyway, a little patch that would hold the egg or the water balloon that you were planning on launching. And so we were about 100 yards out. These things would launch it so far, and we had a guy up there with a walkie-talkie, kind of like if we were shooting mortars, they could tell us where it was landing and stuff. And so we're, and he's telling us, no, you're too far, you know, you pull it back, you know. And finally we hit dead center on the top of the roof of their car. And guys, it woke them up. We could see their trucks, because let me just say this too, they were built more for comfort than speed. Is that a good way to say that? So they were big dudes, man. And so you could see their truck rock, and they both get out, and they're looking around, man, and we're all hiding and kind of hiding out. But guys, what I remember about that is that we could not get them to leave their post because we wanted them to run after us because one of our buddies was going to get in their truck and mess with it, but they would not leave their post. Does everybody understand where I'm coming from on this? They would not leave. We could not get them to leave. And guys, here's the thing is that when I see a thing in the scripture where it says, I have posted watchmen on your walls, I see so much more here than this is just for pastors. If you are one who calls on God, you acknowledge him as God. If you have made him the God of your life, I really do believe this. And listen to this. He has appointed you to a place of influence to keep God in front of those who come into your circle, in your world, that you would be used by the Holy Spirit to have influence on them. Because we have more and more of our believers right now that people are coming into their circle of influence and they're pulling our believers away. They're having more influence on us than we are on them. And I believe that God is saying, no, especially in this time, he needs men and women of God who will stand their posts no matter what. They're not going to leave. They're not going to allow people to get into their truck and mess with it. They're staying right there, and they're doing what has been asked of them, to continually approach God with what you see, what you're feeling, what's going on. And there's a huge difference. Listen, to be a watchman, I'm not talking about being a judge. There's a huge difference in this. A judge is somebody who delivers judgment. And listen, we have enough of the judging going on right now. Right? Is everybody with me on that? We know the job of a judge. In one commentary, it says it this way, that a watchman is not a critic. He or she is a prayer warrior. Isn't that cool? I mean, when I read it, I was just like, that is perfect. Then you take watchman. If you pulled it out of the scripture, in the Hebrew, is shamer. And shamer means to keep guard, or to keep, or to heed, or to be in charge of. Is there to protect or lead. And when I think of that, I think about somebody who leads those that they love. Not just family, but the church, the body, those who are believers, those that are of the way. There's nothing more important than reporting what has been seen or what is needed. The watchman because of where they are placed, they see things differently. Their view comes from a whole different perspective. If I could take all of us on a plane ride or just get on a bus one day and we had all the time that we could do this, I would love to take you all out to Tahoe, California. South Lake Tahoe, to be more specific. And guys, when I lived in Northern California, I would go between 8 or 12 times up there in the winter to go snowboarding, okay? In the summer, we pretty much avoided it because, believe it or not, it's more crowded in Tahoe during the summer than it is in the winter. And that's hard to imagine, but it is. It just gets so packed out, but it's beautiful. And you can go there, and it doesn't matter if you come in from the Highway 101 side or if you come in the Highway 58 side or however you want to come into Tahoe. It's beautiful. Whether you went up to the top of the mountain or not, or you're just down there on the lake walking on these massive boulders and just seeing this like glacier blue water. It's beautiful. It's hard to explain. But I'm going to tell you something. It's a completely different perspective and view when you're up at around 8,500 feet up to 11,000 feet because you're seeing it from a different way. You're like, oh my goodness, like, whoa, and you're looking at all the crests of all the mountains that surround this lake, and it leaves an impression on you. If God appoints us as watchmen, he is giving us, what's happening is he's giving us the job of having a view that maybe others aren't seeing right now. If we really are, as the commentary says, as a watchman, that we are prayer warriors, then that means that when we're praying from a different perspective. Listen, we have people that pray. There's people that'll pray only when the bad stuff happens. But then you also have people that will pray, and it's a daily relationship with them. And I'm just telling you, I know one prayer, just as immediately as you pray, God can answer. But I'm just telling you something. There's a different perspective that comes from a man or woman that is in daily communication with God. God appoints us as watchmen. What are we really talking about? Well, the first thing, what are we watching for? Well, the first one is we're looking for enemy movement. Guys, a good vantage point can make all the difference. Our job is to remain alert. It's to look out for an approaching enemy. If you look in Acts chapter 20, verse 27 through 31, it says, "For I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will rise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your," what does it say? Your guard. We're looking, you know, watchmen, I mean, if you really think about it, they're looking for enemy movement. It's basically, you have to pay attention. Then the other thing that you're looking for is you're looking for God movement. Right now, guys, think about it right now and all this chaos that's going on right now. I mean, I'm not even going to name names because I don't want to embarrass anybody, but my wife spoke at a women's event today and I went to support her and I wanted to get refilled and everything. And so I went to go... Anyway, I love her. I wanted to go and support her, but I love her. And I went, and I'm sitting there, and what happens was, just making a long story short, there was a woman that was pretty much kind of pushed aside because she hadn't been vaccinated yet. I'm telling you, it happened. I saw it happen, and she was pretty much kind of ostracized. And I told her, and she went to a church that I used to go, that I pastored. And I told her, I said, come sit with me. Sit at my table, you know. Come right over here. And I brought her over here. And guys, here's the thing is that there's chaos even in our groups where we should be unified. You know, I mean, this is what's happening in our churches right now. We're telling people to get out if they're not wearing a mask, or get out if you are wearing a mask. It's happening right now. We're in this chaos. And what's happened is we're missing how God is moving because we're so paying attention to the chaos. So what are we seeing God do when God is moving? You know, sometimes we're the first to see. We've been put at a post, and we see God's movement, and we take it to the church. We take it to the people, and we want to see revival. We want to see healings. We want to share how God is speaking, and that's what our job is to be. We become his mouthpiece. We do our best to encourage people to move to him. We're paying attention still. And the watchman leads by example how he or she teaches or how they move. When we remain at our posts through the good and bad, we know the changes. We see the changes that God will bring. We notice the undertows. You know, as a lifeguard, guys, listen, most of the time I was spent was around Wet n Wild and pools and all that. But when the people that I had to rescue out of oceans, the thing that you can see immediately once you experience that one time, if you've ever been caught in an undertow, it only takes once. Because you notice it. You can walk up to a beach and you can see it before you even get in the water. You know it's happening. We notice the undertows. We feel the winds of change. And while others are looking at us, we're pointing them to Christ. We're shouting it out. We're making people aware. How many movies have we seen that are country, like cowboy movies or medieval movies, where somebody is standing at the post and they see somebody from afar and they'll say, "Who goes there?" Or they'll announce somebody is coming. And that's what God puts us there for. Where we're looking for enemy, but we're also looking for God's movement. Come on, give me an amen. So here's the second thought. Those who call out to the Lord, listen, we never stop going to him. I don't know if you caught that in the scripture, you know, going back to Isaiah 62, he said, give yourselves no rest. Psalms 116, 1-2 says, I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my prayer for mercy. Because he bends down to listen, I will pray as long as I have breath. Psalms 156 says, let everything that has breath, what? Praise the Lord. So we just, as long as we have breath, it's to praise him. And Harvest, let's get to the place that it is how we respond to adversity, how we respond to new vision or trials or hard to reach goals. That God, I've already approached you with this today, but I'm going to come to you and I'm going to pray again. To respond in that way. Look at it this way. I've already gone to God today, but I'm going to go to him again. Again. When my kids, they all went through this cycle. They're little dudes sitting in their high chair. Couldn't hardly say any words. Maybe mom and dad were coming out. But boy, they knew the word again. And my son Chase was the first one. We had those Disney VHSs where it was people dancing in Disneyland, like Main Street. I'm walking right down the middle of Main. Anyway, so we'd have to. But he, as soon as it would end, guess what would come out of his mouth? Again. And we'd have to rewind the, you know, back then you had to rewind the VHS. And then you would hit again. And Sky did the same thing. Ryder did the same thing. Again, again, again. Keep going to God. Never stop going to God. Keep going to Jesus. Go for the unanswered prayer. At your post, even when you're not sure what you're seeing, at your post and when you need his leading, when it comes to approaching God, give yourself no rest. Keep going to him. Matthew 15, 21 through 28. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And a Canaanite woman from the vicinity came to him crying out, Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly. Jesus did not answer a word, so his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. And the woman came and knelt before him, Lord, help me, she said. He replied, it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. And she goes, yes, it is, Lord. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And then Jesus said to her, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed at that moment. God, I will keep coming to you again, again, and again for my need. I will keep coming to you for my next assignment. You know, I was sitting at a table with one of the ladies today. At that meeting, and she was just asking me about Sky and asking about, you know, Ryder and asking about Chase. And I'm giving all these amazing reports of this is what's going on and all that. But I just remember, I just thought, you know what? I'm sitting with somebody that I know is a prayer warrior. She's a watchman. And so I just looked at her and I said, listen, things are going great here and here, but I still need you to pray in this area. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Stuff that Lori and I have been digging deep for 10 years over. We want you to join us in praying this. Keep praying. Keep going to God. Don't stop. Keep doing this. And here's the thing is that, guys, keep going for the next spoken word, that I will continually cry out to you for my family, my nation, my city, my marriage, my kids, my finances. How many families right now are in complete chaos because of their finances right now? For people, all people, everybody say all people, praying for all people, that for your kingdom to continue expanding. And then this third thought dealing with for those who call to the Lord is this. It also, the scripture says, give God no rest. He never gets tired. And I want you to understand this. God never gets tired of hearing from you. You know, my wife has been kind of, not complaining, but she kind of jokes a little bit about lately she's been waking up at 3 in the morning. I mean, right on the dot. Like, she'll wake up, you know, might get up to go try to use the restroom or get a drink of water or something to try to just get ready to go back to sleep, but she can't go back to sleep. And so she finally just lays back and goes, okay, God, you've got me awake. You know, what are you trying to say to me? Me? If I was waking up at 3 o'clock, I would probably have responded to that a little bit differently. I might have been going downstairs trying to watch TV until I got tired again, or I don't know what I would be doing. But guys, there's you see the difference in response. And so now it's like I have been waking up a little bit earlier in the mornings, and I can't explain it. And so I find myself, I get up, I get into the shower, and then my mind, while I'm taking the shower, is just filled with things that I need to go to God for. I'm going to go to him. I'm not going to give God any rest. Remember in Psalms 121:4, it says, remember, he never sleeps. Indeed, he who watches over Israel never slumbers or sleeps. He is the all the time God. All the time. He is the one true living God. We started out with Isaiah 62, and it says it this way, give him no rest till he establishes. You take that word, you can take that word and go into the dictionary and you're going to get all kinds of different definitions for that. But it's really talking about until he makes it stable. I've got a back deck right now. Literally, I'm not even kidding. Just this last Saturday, my son was mowing the lawn, just being just a good son, very thankful. And he mowed our lawn for us. But when he opened the door on our shed, the door just fell off. Like literally, the wood was so rotted, it just fell off. I've got a deck out there that I literally walk like this on it right now because I just don't want to go through it. Like I'm not sure if it will or not. It's just older. It needs to be replaced. And I just can't wait for the day that I can go back there and it just feels stable. I'm not having to think about that. I have a hot tub that's just around the corner on another deck that right now you can see it bending the boards it's holding. We're not getting in that hot tub. We're going to have the fire department out there trying to help us get out of it, you know? But guys, here's the thing. When you read in Isaiah 62, give him no rest till he establishes, till he makes it stable again. What it's saying is don't put limits on God. Think about this. We're putting limits on a limitless God. It's one of our greatest downfalls. It is impossible for you to bother him. There is no such thing as praying enough. And I encourage you to spiritually ball up your fist and bang on the floor of heaven and keep going at it. Are you facing a major temptation? Give God no rest. Are you praying for a lost loved one? Give God no rest. Are you still walking through your sickness and need a miracle healing? Give God no rest. Has your marriage hit a wall? Give God no rest. Are you needing wisdom above all else? Give God no rest. James Bank is a Christian author that really writes books regarding prayer. And he actually has them pretty much once he writes the book, it gets translated into all kinds of different languages so that it can go around the world and people can read it. But he said this, he made this statement right here. He said, so I make this prayer a declaration of dependence on you. Because here's the thing is that I think about being a watchman. I think sometimes a watchman is this man or woman that is just not scared of anything, but that's not always how it is. Sometimes being up there and having the perspective and seeing what God is showing you and seeing what's coming, sometimes your knees hit a couple times. But it doesn't mean that God is not God. We keep going to him because I depend on you. I will keep going to you because you are my strong tower. I will run to you because you're my strong tower. So I'm going to close this up and here's the three takeaways, and I hope that, you know, write them down or just take a picture of these as they come up. But the first one is ask God to give you a complete faith. And what I mean by that is that don't just believe there is God, but believe that he is living and that both knows you and he hears you. It also means this, that he is active in me and that I am active in him. There's that relationship. The second takeaway is this. Take ownership of that appointment. If God sets you up on the watchtower, you're the watchman. He gives you that appointment. God will place you because he sees the most potential for us in the good of building his kingdom. He's not just putting you there to test you. He's putting you there because he knows that you're listening, that you're looking, that you're watching, and that you would respond to him, trusting him. And use that vantage point of where he has placed you to help those who are going to come into the circle of your influence. Guys, listen, tired of believers being pulled away from the church. It's time for us that when we make a circle of influence, that when they walk in, they're immediately touched by the anointing of the Holy Spirit because our relationship is so strong, because we have taken ownership of our appointment. And then lastly, never stop. Everybody say never stop. Never stop going to Jesus. Don't stop. Don't stop until he establishes, until it is completed, until he answers, until his hand moves, until you are set free, until you're healed, or until you're restored, filled with joy, receiving your next appointment, needing clarity. If you need unity, you're looking for favor. Never stop and give him no rest. Boy, there were times when our little ones were little, and it just seemed like they would never give us rest. I'm telling you, but God's not that way. Keep going to him. And when this is all said and done, when it's all said and done and everything has been completed in one area, I'm going to go pray again. I just move on and I pray again. Let me close with this. Two different versions. Psalms 26:7. Proclaiming aloud your praise and telling of all your wonderful deeds. But look how the message says it. Singing God's songs at the top of your lungs. And what? Telling God's stories. Is that the coolest translation? Telling God's stories. That we live out our appointment. We watch for enemy movement. We watch for God movement. We keep going to God. We follow his leading. And we tell God stories and point people to Jesus. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand of praise on that. Amen. That's his words this morning. He's so good. He's so good. Telling God stories. You never would think that that's part of the watchman's job, but it really is. It really is. Remember, when you're looking at God movement, that means you got to come down off your post and you got to tell what you're seeing. God's stories. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And I just pray, dear Lord, for anybody that was watching online, anybody that's here, dear Lord, that needed this word, that as they go into their prayer closets, as they go into just seeking you, dear Lord, I pray that they will keep going. Just keep going to you until you meet them, until everything has been established, made stable. We love you, God, and we thank you for everything that you're doing in our lives. We thank you for what you're doing in Harvest. So many good things happening here, and we give you all the praise. We just ask you tonight, the Lord, even as our group continues into prayer tonight, the Lord, that you're going to speak directly to us. And we give you all thanks and praise, and Harvest Assembly said amen. God bless you guys. Thank you. See you Sunday.